listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this live broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on the EmotionalPro.com radio page. And also, we have a toll-free number, 800-630-7858. That's 800-630-7858, and you can call and talk with our guest in person. You know, for quite a while now, Full Power Living shows have been pointing out to you that we're in the midst of a great change. A lot of the guests we've featured have been talking with you about what this change is, how you can best navigate it, and what outcome we can together create. And here's what today's guest has to say on this topic. He says, there's a change drawing near. It involves a paradigm shift of a global scale. Welcome to the age of personal responsibility, not for the sake of self, but for the sake of universal well-being. He's talking about a peaceful cosmic revolution, meaning that we will take our place alongside all other beings in a good way, and in partnership we will navigate together. Patrick Ryan continues, what's in it for you? Everything. You're being invited into a dream in which your full beauty, brilliance, and purpose will be expressed according to your divine wisdom. There is some work to do. We'll do it together. All you have to do is activate your will and follow through on it. Do your part. That's all we can ask. Patrick Ryan ends his gentle and loving discussion of the change we're all experiencing, filled with supportive suggestions for how to align ourselves with this enormous transformation, with these words: take what works and leave the rest here. I love you and I love this life. Thanks for your part in it. So, who, you ask, is Patrick Ryan? Well, he's a man who died from a drug overdose in his late teens, only to be revived with a new understanding of the divine. As a Buddhist monk in Burma, he practiced the path of awakened living, according to Buddhist philosophy. He's also studied indigenous wisdoms with a variety of teachers. His new book, Awakened Wisdom, blends Buddhist, native, and collected wisdoms into a beautifully crafted healing message for our modern culture. His work focuses on questions of personal effectiveness and leadership, and he integrates his rich life experience with ancient teachings and modern applications so that you can have your understanding of your own experience deepened. Patrick is married and lives in Mill Valley, California, and Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada. He travels extensively. He offers workshops in the San Francisco Bay Area, including one coming up starting September 24th, so be sure to check him out at awakenedwisdom.com so you could sign up for that. And he also has workshops in the Midwest, in Vancouver, Canada, Frankfurt, Germany, Israel, Dubai, and Jordan. Patrick Ryan, welcome to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. It's my pleasure to be here on this beautiful day.
Great. Well, as a psychotherapist, I often talk with people who are going through change and yet are resisting it. And when I do, I use the metaphor of a person on a fast-moving river in a kayak, and I tell them they have a choice of either trying to paddle against the current or turning their boat, aiming it into the flow of the river and shooting through the rapids. And so the changes that are facing us humans, you say, you must be willing to risk shaking up your world and the world of those around you for the sake of something greater than yourself. And I think that's your way of inviting us to shoot the rapids, to face these changes. Is that correct?
Yeah, I love your metaphor of the river, because life very much is that river. And it is constantly changing around us, whether we like it or not. And as it's going to be changing anyway, it really does make our journey so much more filled with joy when we just embrace the idea that day by day by day, life is changing. So rather than resist that, grab that paddle and paddle in a good way. And then we'll respond to life day by day according to what's needed.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Well, and you note this too, the change is a bit confusing because on the one hand, we're experiencing a lot of changes outside of ourselves, like institutions and earth changes and climate changes and economic changes. And yet, not only are there a lot of us, but we're conscious for the first time in our lives, in our history, I guess I would say. And you also say that there is brilliance that's already in us, within us. And I think a lot of people aren't feeling this way these days. The fact that you say we're born complete and whole and we have to, and we must learn how to be all that we already are. What can you say to people who certainly are not feeling complete and whole at this time?
Yeah, well, there's a couple, I think, important things to remember in that. One is, it's really easy to see that we are all being challenged by what's going on the planet right now. So there's nothing personal in it. There's good news in that. Some people think, well, my life's going really difficult right now. It must be a sign of something. And I really say to people right now, to a large extent, don't take it personal. This is really a global challenge that we're all facing together. And if we as humans were isolated islands, then we would have to really take it upon ourselves to know everything, to be everything, to become everything. But the fact of the matter is that we're not islands. We're so interrelated to each other and to all the beings on the planet. So every one of us is filled with our personal genius and our personal gifts. And our work right now is really to soften and open up to each other. And together we'll solve the puzzle of what's needed. And so no one of us has to be all the answer. We bring our individual wisdom through and add it to the collective, and together we'll find our way through.
So that sounds lovely. Let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. What about people who are really scared right now? How do we soften and open in the face of fears about survival?
Well, one of the biggest things about fear is most of what we fear is imagined. It's not what I would call a real fear. So when we're bombarded in the media about, be careful, watch out, oh my gosh, this is happening right now, it pounds on us. It distorts things, and distorted is the key. So every one of us in any moment has the capacity to connect to the divine essence, which is that highest center of wisdom within us. Part of our challenge in life is not to get caught into living and responding, or it's more like reacting from the place of distorted. And this is a moment-by-moment daily challenge that we have. And so there's a learning curve in that. And partially what we have to develop is the ability to correctly assess whether or not we're in divine essence or we're caught in distorted, because it can be very difficult. This is not like a full one way or full the other way. There's 1,000 degrees of each. And so we can activate an observer, and from the place of an observer, it's a little bit like the old-fashioned news reporter that can give us a real factual report of what's going on that's not tinged with like and dislike, but it's just saying, here are the facts. And from the place of the facts, what's needed now in this moment?
Yes. I'm thinking, I have a program called Dragon Naturally Speaking, which is a voice recognition dictation system. And the idea of becoming aware moment by moment is like working with that, where you have a period of time of training the voice recognition software to realize how you speak. And so you correct each thing as you go along. You have to stay aware of it. And it seems like the similar process that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that could be a good metaphor for what we're talking about. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you had to discover this about yourself. How in the world, and I know you talk about this in the book, but I want you to tell our listeners how you moved from drug overdose and death to believing that you are complete and whole and brilliant.
Well, it was a long journey. I can certainly tell you that. And there's not that I recommend anybody try to create their own death experience, but for anybody who has had one, or for anybody who knows somebody who's had one, you probably have heard the story about what happens. And what happens in that experience is, at least for me, was that when I was out of my body, when I was able to witness my body on the floor receiving CPR from somebody who was caring for it, and I was above it, I was in this experience of being connected to the divine. And there's no way I can articulate the fullness of that experience, but the one thing that I got really clear about was the beautiful, bright light of joy that is permeated throughout this entire universe. And knowing that that's available in any given moment, I spent the next decades of my life looking for ways to connect and know that joy, because it is there. And so any time we're not connected to it, the good news is that we are the ones separating ourselves from it. That joy is always there. And so when we know that we're the only cause of the separation, then it really shows us where our work is needed so that we can come back and connect to it.
What I take comfort in, and I hope our listeners will also, is that a person doesn't have to have a death experience in order to connect. It almost brings to mind, why did somebody have a death experience and suddenly, I'm awake now? And what you do in awakened wisdom is to actually lay out the pathway for a person to get to an awakened state without having to have a death experience, which I appreciate a great deal.
Yeah, and the book Awakened Wisdom is, as you just said, it's a guide so that people can live this in their daily lives. And one of the things that I'm a stand for is that being awake is not something that's exclusive to the Lama on a mountaintop in Nepal. That every one of us is awake to different degrees. And it's a day-by-day process of awakening ourselves more and more. And it really is, number one, challenging, but number two, available to every one of us.
Yeah, that's really key. So just to give us something to shoot for, and I know you cover this in Awakened Wisdom, but if you could give us a thumbnail, what is living in the realm of divine essence like? What are we shooting for?
What we're shooting for is staying connected to our highest wisdom. And we, as humans, we basically experience our life primarily through three fields of intelligence. One is our mind intelligence. One is our heart intelligence, which is the intelligence of our emotional world, and also our interrelatedness to all the beings around us. And the other is our body intelligence. And these are completely interconnected. It's very artificial to think that we can pull them apart to even describe them. And at the same time, it helps to pull them apart so that we can understand them a little bit better. When we're connected to our divine essence, our mind, our body, and our heart intelligences are fully integrated. And from that place of integration, we are in relationship with each other. There is no separation. There is, at that stage, paradoxically, in this moment, you and I are in a conversation as if there's a you and an I, but really we're one, and the audience is one with us. And so, as humans, we have this illusion that we're separate, and it really is an illusion. So, from a place of divine essence, we really connect to the oneness that we all are of. Mm-hmm. And from from there, the wisdom that's available to us, it doesn't matter what kind of challenge life is throwing at us. What does matter is our ability to stay connected and grounded to divine essence and respond in the best way possible. And that's just part of what's available from this place of divine essence.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. That's wonderful. And I know, especially in the section where you talk about the eight steps of live. I'm sorry, the eight what?
Eight states.
Eight states of an awakened life, yes. In that section, you even in each of the eight steps, you draw a picture of what the future could be like when we follow those states, when we become those. We have a question that, and we have a break coming up. So we have a question from Chicago, Kevin, and I'd like you to answer it when we come back from our break. Do you think that time seems to be speeding up with the increased flow of information and how much new information is coming out every day? My college-age son was telling me how fast his first year of college went. Is this an illusion, or does he think, or do you think that something is going on here? So if you'll just give a thought to that while we're on our break, Patrick, thanks. So we're talking today with Patrick Ryan, who blends Buddhist, Native, and collective wisdoms into this beautifully crafted healing message for all of us. You're listening to Full Power Living, and I'm Eileen Dillon, and we will be right back.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
How difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? Or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements for you. Whatever you're doing, be sure to take along your downloaded episodes of Full Power Living so that you can listen to the most cutting-edge information on all areas of life that are impacted by emotions. And we've amassed more than 300 archive shows for you here on emotionalpro.com. And you can also subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes by using my name, Eileen Dillon, Eileen Dillon. And this show will be archived within hours of its broadcast. Also, be sure to join us for upcoming shows. Next week, we're featuring Qigong Master Chunyi Lin, who is discussing A World Without Pain. His Spring Forest Qigong has been scientifically proven to reduce both physical and emotional pain for patients with long-term chronic pain. The following week, Jeffrey Hazlett takes a look at us with the health of your business, and then we have well-known mindfulness instructor and leader Bob Stahl talking about his new mindfulness-based stress-reducing workbook. And we've invited Dr. Jeffrey Mason to return in November to talk with us about his latest book, The Dog Who Wouldn't Stop Loving. So check the top of our radio page on emotionalpro.com for the listing. And let me remind you that we have two other internet radio programs that I create with Life Coach Dakey Fox on the Women's Information Network, the winonline.com, winonline.com. They are Building Conscious Families and Emotionally Speaking. And we're looking for women who would like to participate in Emotionally Speaking. We meet together in a teleconference room and talk on topics of emotion, and with your permission, then broadcast what we talk about. So contact me, ILENE, at emotionalpro.com if you're interested in participating. And finally, thanks for telling your family and friends about Full Power Living. Ask them to listen with you. And thank you for being part of our mission of awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. Today, our guest is Patrick Ryan, who can be found at awakenedwisdom.com. And he is the author of Awakened Wisdom. And he has a new Awakened Wisdom Center. So, which I know you're very excited about, Patrick. So, first of all, tell people, how can they get a copy of your book? And secondly, tell us something about your website and the Awakened Wisdom Center.
Yes, thank you. The book is available at Amazon or off our own website at Awakened Wisdom. And the Awakened Wisdom Center is something that was recently created in response to a lot of people that have read the book and a lot of people that have gone through our workshops and coaching programs that really wanted a way to be in community with each other. And so I finally found an online platform that allows us to create what I call a virtual community center for people interested in conversations and in learning more about how to live an awakened life. So the Awakened Wisdom Center, it's completely free to join. It's somewhat like a Facebook type of experience, except that we can do some things in there that go beyond what you could do in Facebook in terms of being in communication with each other. And when people do join, they're going to get 16 recordings that I recorded from the book on visualizations for how to live an awakened life. And the feedback we're getting on the visualizations has really been fantastic. People are really enjoying them and finding that they're really supporting them in this process.
That's great. That's great. Yes, it's lovely, and I notice you also offer support to businesses and organizations, and it's just a really lovely place to visit. Also, I'm assuming that's a Drupal platform. Is that so?
It's not.
Surprise!
It's created by a small company, and anybody who wants to know more about that platform can certainly feel free to contact me. I'm more than happy to recommend this out for coaches and that are interested in developing their own communities.
Oh, that's really great. My son works with Drupal, which is why I was asking. Okay, so Chicago Kevin has this question about whether time is actually... now he's
speeding
telling...
up.
Yeah, he's telling me that he can't hear us. Well, you and I will keep going. Okay, so Chicago Kevin wants to know about time speeding up and whether this is just our perception, or is it an illusion, or is it actually happening?
Well, it's a very... this question comes up a lot, and so when something comes up a lot, we all really need to pay attention to that fact that it is being asked a lot, and really consider that there's something important for us to notice about it. I don't know if time is speeding up from the point of view of the universe, but I do know that as humans, we are being quickened by the pace of the world that we're in. So we've never been so inundated with messages from the media. Now with all our computers and the electronic games and the iPods and all these things that at one level make our lives so much more interesting, at another level, wow, we are so bombarded with stuff that I don't think we get the time to take a breath like we used to. And in a lot of the coaching I do with people, one of the things that we find is that people are just running to keep up. And one of the challenges that they experience is how to step off of the treadmill and just take a time of stillness. And that's one of my recommendations to everybody, is take at least 15 minutes, if not longer, in every day, and just go sit on a park bench. And do not sit there and make a list or make plans. Just sit. Go for a walk in the park and just become still, so that we have that chance to catch up to ourselves.
You know, years ago, I lived as a single parent for 20 years, and that was one of the things that just drove me crazy, is that it seemed like there wasn't enough time. And I have a very wise friend who told me to keep affirming to myself that there's enough time for everything. And I noticed you had somewhat of that concept in Awakened Wisdom, that you know, everything we need is there. And it was amazing to me, instead of going, oh, I don't have enough time for this or I don't have enough time for that, I actually began to say, there's more than enough time for everything. And it has been amazing. I don't get caught up in that rush now.
You're absolutely right. What you're really pointing to is the power of intention and the power of words, the words we speak to ourselves and the words that we speak to others. In the book Awakened Wisdom, I break it down into the 8 states of an awakened life, which you referenced earlier. And 2 of those 8 states teach us how to move through the world with a good state of intention. In this case, the intention being to be in a good relationship with time, to be able to move in a way that brings spaciousness into your life rather than feel rushed by the speed of things around us. And the other, from a good state of words, is to be very conscious about the stories we tell ourselves and the stories that we tell others. So when we tell ourselves, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time, then that story of that creates more of that in our life. But when we slow down and tell ourselves the story that, you know, really there's a lot to do and I do have time, there's a lot coming at me right now and it's all fine, it's good, I can respond to this one moment at a time at my own pace and it's going to be okay, creates a very different kind of experience in life.
And the thing that you're recommending of taking 15 minutes out, you're actually demonstrating to yourself that you have enough time. You don't have to use the words in that one.
Exactly right. And, if we went back to your metaphor of paddling the canoe in the river,
right,
we can get caught in trying to out-paddle the river. It's like if we think that we have to paddle as fast as the river, then, oh my gosh, how would we ever keep up, especially when we're in the rapids? But in fact, all we're doing when we're paddling our way down a river, even when we're going through the rapids, is we're paddling just as fast as is needed to keep the canoe pointed in the right direction, not to get ahead of the river.
Does how we begin or how we end our day have an impact on this?
I do think that has a big difference. One of the things I do every morning before I even get out of bed is do my own process of telling myself the kind of day that I intend to experience. And in the story of what I tell myself, I'll weave in the experiences that I know are coming in that day, and of course, allowing for a lot of the mystery of what's coming in the day. And if, for example, I would be lying in bed before I get up, and I'll tell myself that today I want to remember to move with joy. I want to remember to move with stillness. I love that paradox of moving with stillness. And to move in connection. Because one of the things that happens when the faster we go is we tend to also then isolate ourselves. We kind of put our head down and we disconnect ourselves from the world around us for the sake of getting through it. And that's the pathway to getting caught in the distortion again. So sometimes it feels really counterintuitive to say, wow, in this moment I'm being asked to move so fast and I'm choosing not to buy in on that. I'm actually going to choose to just go and sit in the park for 15 minutes and breathe easy and just bring in the light and the fresh air and just connect to animals or people that are moving around, and I'll go back into that world in 15 minutes and it's all going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm known as the emotional pro, so I want to look at heart intelligence with you. You mentioned that before, and I'm curious about to know more about what your idea of the true purpose of emotions is for us human beings. Because you say that from the perspective of divine essence, even being emotionally hurt is understood to be part of a normal life. So how do you approach emotions, or how does divine wisdom approach emotions? What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think in some corners, not everywhere, but I think there are some places where there's a confusion that being awakened means that we're not having an emotional experience, and nothing mm-hmm. could be farther from the truth. Mm-hmm. So being awakened means that we're having what I call a good emotional experience relative to the moment that we're in. So, for example, last week in our family, our beloved four-legged cat friend was extremely ill and literally on the edge of passing away. We really thought we were going to lose her a few days ago. And there was a lot of grieving in responding to the experience of watching this beautiful being that we love so much being caught in this illness. And so we allowed ourselves to grieve that. And at the same time, we weren't getting lost in the grief. So our cat, Lulu, needed us to respond as her human friends in a good way so that we could support her. And one of the metaphors that I like to use with emotions is, if you can imagine, there's three ways to be in relationship with emotion. If we use the experience of being on a beach where the waters of the ocean are coming in and the waves are slapping on the shore, is some people stand on the shore and they watch the emotional waves rolling in, and they're not connected to it. They're just seeing it. That's disconnecting ourselves from what's going on. Other people throw themselves into the water and they get overwhelmed and they get tumbled underneath the waves, and that's getting too caught inside the emotional experience. What we need to learn how to do is how to ride that emotional wave so we're totally connected to it, we're fully experiencing it, and at the same time, from the place of divine essence, we're connected to ourselves and connected to the moment. And it doesn't overwhelm us, but we have the full experience of it.
Wow. I really like that. And it's very much, I talk about emotional mastery, meaning to be in charge of how emotion affects us, to live in a balanced state. And I really like that image. That's wonderful. But still, people can get lost in their so-called negative emotions. And how exactly, you're saying that if we're on top and so forth that of the wave, then we'll be in this balanced state and so on. But if a person habitually lives in a state of, I guess, in distorted is the way you would say it, but in a state of so-called negative emotion and wants to move to positive, what are some of the first steps they could take?
Well, I love that question, because part of the answer is right in the question. When we are in an experience, we are going to have an emotional response to the experience. If we're responding from the place of divine essence, then that emotional response is what we would say a good and balanced response. When we're caught in distorted self may overreact or underreact. So any time we're getting lost in it is a really good chance we're caught in distorted self. Now, from the place of distorted self, when we're caught there, the very first step is we have to be willing to move from that over to divine essence. A lot of times people are not willing to make the shift. So if you're not willing to make a shift, if you're not willing to move over to divine essence, you're caught in a distortion. So let's say now somebody is willing. Well, let's look at the mind, the body, and the heart intelligences. We all have one where we have the greatest access to it, and we all have one of those we push away the furthest, and the one in the middle is what I call Plan B. So we have to get to know ourselves well enough to know, for example, myself, my strongest relationship is to my mind intelligence. My Plan B is my emotional heart intelligence, the realm of emotions, and the one I push away the furthest was my body intelligence. So knowing that, when I get caught in, say, a process of confusion in my mind, then the best way for me to get out of that is to go either to my heart intelligence or go to my body intelligence. When people get caught in an emotional swirl and they're feeling like they're really caught in it, then going to either their mind intelligence or their body intelligence is likely going to give them the greatest chance of recovering from it. So if we went to body intelligence, one thing we would do from there would be to activate our body and go for a walk, go exercising, get the body moving. And then once the body's moving and we feel ourselves kind of getting more present into the moment, then go to the mind intelligence and really assess the situation you're in and ask the question, what's a good emotional experience from here? And it might feel a bit odd to put your mind in charge of that kind of a question, but it creates a bit of perspective that allows the emotional experience to balance itself out in a good way.
Wow, that's lovely. Well, we have another question on our chat, which I want to pose to you after we take our next break. And I also want to talk, I want you to tell us what distorted is, and I want to talk with you about dreaming when we get back. So we'll take a break now, and you get those answers ready for us, because I'm ready.
Right.
I'm ready to hear them. Thanks. This is Full Power Living, and I'm your host, Eileen Dillon. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com. We're back with AwakenedWisdom.com, Patrick Ryan, that's his website, who's the author of Awakened Wisdom, A Guide to Reclaiming Your Brilliance, right here on Full Power Living at EmotionalPro.com. Now, Patrick, before our break, we had a question from our chat, and I'd like to share that with you, and the question is, with regard to this movement to moving to higher levels of consciousness, why does it seem that women are much more on board with this than men? And the question is, caveman DNA still hanging around?
Yeah, I would never argue against the possibility of caveman DNA still hanging around. I think that women are much more naturally inclined, and certainly DNA is a factor here, to the world of interrelatedness and relationships. And men are much more oriented to get the job done and that single-minded kind of focused action. And, of course, we all have both of these energies within us, so we're really what we're talking about is the one that we lean to the most. So from the place of that willingness to put attention towards these things, I do find in my own experience as well that women seem much more willing to put the effort and the time needed towards it. Having said that, though, on behalf of men, I've got to say that I know a lot of men that we're working with in through our workshops and coaching and that are really tuned in to shifting their consciousness and developing themselves to open up to greater levels of awakening. And for a lot of them, that is a journey into relationship, a journey into interrelatedness with all the other beings on the planet. And I'm celebrating that, woohoo! And we've all got our work cut out for us.
Yeah. My experience in working with people individually as a therapist is that those people who are most challenged are really being challenged to make a firm commitment. It's almost like you have to push through like a seed trying to push through packed to earth. You know, it's like really pushes you to make the commitment. So I'm just thinking about that in terms of this question.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And when we're pushed, because that is what the world tends to do, it tends to push on us, that reveals where our work needs to be. And
right.
For those of us that when we're pushed, we tend to put our head down and isolate ourselves and push back harder, that very often is going into more and more levels of distortion.
Okay, that's the concept I want to look at here. Talk about distortion. What I think we didn't define for our listeners what distorted is.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's easy to know what something is by knowing what it's not. And so when we're in a distortion, generally what we're not being is grounded, connected to our mind, our heart, and our body, open. And from the place of divine essence, I believe that we are going to be thinking, speaking, and acting words that add beauty to the world, that add life-giving energy to the world. So on the other side of the scale, we have distortion. So distortion is going to be that sense of being separated, caught in the illusion of being alone, caught in being critical, judgmental, doubtful, fearful. When we're caught in these energies, we've been pulled away from our divine essence, that center of wisdom, and we're in a distortion. But there's a thousand subtle shades of this. So quite often we can be caught in distortions that are really so subtle that it's almost only in something happens in our day that reveals, like, oh my gosh, I've been caught in a distortion all day and I didn't even know it. So what I've learned to do is to check in many, many times in the day through my mind, my body, and my heart. How am I doing right now? Do I feel really open? Do I feel filled with joy and happiness? And if not, then I ask the question, what's needed for me to have more of that? And that usually gives me some information about where I am in divine essence versus distorted self.
Well, I tried that on a walk I went on with my husband last night after dinner. And I found it was very challenging to really stay in positive. We were walking along a road where there was a lot of traffic, and it tended to pull me down. And I wanted to get away, and then I realized, no, I need to make this the experience of being away or being comfortable and not think I have to go away from where I am in order to be comfortable or to be alive and positive.
Yeah, and traffic, again, this is like a great metaphor for all the busyness in our life. That is our traffic. So when we go to work, for example, we might be working in an office environment where there's like hundreds of emails that we need to deal with, and the phone is ringing, and stacks of papers, and wow, that's traffic. And and how natural it would be to burrow down and work harder to get through all of that, and start disconnecting from the need of your body to have an enjoyable lunch break, or the need to go home at a reasonable time and connect with family and to get a good night's rest. And so this is always the challenge that we're in. And so sometimes when we're buried in that traffic, one thing is to kind of embrace the relationship of, well, yes, okay, so this is the situation. There's a lot of stuff here. So let's embrace the truth of that, first of all. But then to remember just to keep breathing your way through it and to keep looking for ways to solve it. And it doesn't mean we can change things. It doesn't mean that we can solve it. But we can sure choose how to be in relationship with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, thank you. In your book, you talk about dreaming. And you say it's our unique human ability to look into the future and literally dream up what we deeply desire. I think a lot of people are calling that manifestation. So could you talk more about what dreaming is and why it's important to us now?
Yeah, dreaming. The life that we are living right now in this moment, it's the life we dreamed up. And the dreams that we hold right now are creating the life that we will be living into in the next moment and the next day and the next week and the next year. So our dreams go out, and by dreams I mean the things that you are asking for in your life, wanting in your life. I'm not just talking about night dreams, although they're part of the process, but these are like, wow, I dream of having this in my life, or I dream of being like this way. And so, first of all, we have to look at who are we putting in charge of the dream department. If we put distorted self in charge of the dream department, then the things that we dream for are probably not going to create well-being in our life. For example, distorted might dream for having too much, so much that we could never satisfy or live up to that, and we'll always feel defeated by it. When we put divine essence in charge of the dream department, then the things that we dream for are really aligned with our well-being. And divine essence doesn't get caught in greed, and it doesn't get caught in scarcity. It really knows that you are allowed to want what you want. It's okay to dream for that nice car and that nice house. Please do. Just do it from the place of divine essence. And then as we walk that walk towards those things, then it's a good walk, and it's not a walk that's driven by guilt or shame or whipping yourself because you're not doing it good enough. And the other thing about dreaming is we don't dream alone, and this is where, there's some teachings on attraction and manifestation that have you believe that you can have anything you want just because you want it. And I'm going, well, whose world is that? There's 7 billion people on this planet. That's a lot of dreams. And so from the place of divine essence, we also know that we're dreaming in relationship with all the other dreams. And we align ourselves with what's needed on the planet right now. And there's a paradox about in our workshops, and we've got one in the Bay Area coming up in a couple of weeks, by the way, and touring this around North America. So go to the website and check that out. Because in the workshop, we guide people through a process of how to dream in a good way. And partially it's looking out into what's needed for the sake of the world and what's needed for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your family, for the sake of your community. And so we guide people into dreaming on behalf of all of these things. And it's a really powerful experience.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up. I noticed you have several workshops coming up and So I'm glad you mentioned that, and I hope people will go to awakenedwisdom.com and check that out. So I want to ask you, why do you think your book, Awakened Wisdom, is important to publish now?
I really do feel that the book wanted to be written, and it kind of tapped me on the shoulder with a relentless tapping until I finally agreed to write it. And I do think that when we're living in connection to the planet and to the universe, that what we bring through us is in response to what is needed right now. And one of the things that I've heard from many hundreds of people that have read this book that get back to me through emails and that I meet personally are telling me that this book is, number one, is giving them a sense of inspiration that's really well-grounded and connects them to the truth that they really are magnificent and brilliant, and they really can create a good life, even in these challenging times. And the other thing is the book is really practical. I was brought up in the Canadian prairies, and so I like to say I'm a practical-minded kind of guy. And if you can't put it in the ground and grow it, then there's something not quite real about it. So this book is filled with exercises that are very practical, stuff you can do in your life this morning, never mind next year or something like that.
Absolutely, and it's very kind and caring and supportive. I just make note that when I finished reading your book, I just felt enveloped in a way. Even though you were talking about potentially difficult stuff, it still is very, your approach is very supportive. So I think this is important to people who are listening to. I heard you say that the book wanted to be written and so forth, but I want to ask you this question, again, a little devil's advocate. What made you think that you were the one to write this book? What allowed you to keep going, to put your ideas and experiences out into the world, and to think that anybody would want to read or listen to it?
Yes, well, every one of us is needed right now by whatever is happening out here in the universe, on this planet. We all have a part to play. And so every one of us is in a different situation in our life, different circumstance. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. And we're all needed. So when I look at my own particular talents, what I know is that I do have a gift for taking very mystical concepts and making them very practical and pragmatic, and expressing them in a way that's really accessible. So I happen to have that gift, and that's why for years I've been going around the world as a workshop leader and a teacher and an author. And so from the place of divine essence, we look at what is calling us. There's a wisdom field, which is this intelligence that is of the universe that whispers in our ear in the middle of the night, and it says, "Hey, you, this is what we need from you." And from the place of our divine essence, we listen to what we're called to, inspired to, and then we respond to it. And so I pushed away the idea of the book for a while, but it just kept coming back to me and saying, no, this book needs to be written. And for all of us, whether you're called to just open up maybe a club at work to talk about how to have things happen in a better way, or you're called to being a painter, or a cyclist, or anything at all that you're called to, the universe needs you to respond to that. And if we all will do that, then together we're all going to bring this collective energy that's really needed on the planet right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, I once raised this question. I was going to my office where I was going to teach a workshop, and I had to pull my car over to the side of the road. I thought, well, you know, I believe that everybody has all the answers inside of them, and yet I'm going to charge people money to go teach them a workshop that they already know all the stuff. What am I doing here? And the response that I came up with is, yes, we may all know, but we may not all know how to access it, and that's something that I could give. And the reason it was me was because there was a job to be done and I was willing to do it. It wasn't an ego thing. It was just there was something to be done and I was willing to do it. And you call it being called, but I like your explanation too. But I think it's really something important that people need to sort of take a look at, because I think we lose a lot of our great possibilities by not believing in ourselves, not continuing to move forward.
That's great, Eileen. You exactly described it. And every one of us, not only do we have a purpose to serve, but at the end of the day, I think when we go to bed at night, we want to know that there is meaning to our life. There is purpose to our life. And it doesn't mean we all have to get out on a stage in front of hundreds or thousands of people. A lot of us are serving that purpose in the way that we're in relationship to our family members, to our colleagues at work, to just move from the place of divine essence, to just move through your place of work and just be a light of joy, just to ride on the elevator with strangers and to imagine that your light is actually lifting them to a higher place, and you may or may not even say a word to them. You're serving your purpose in the simplest ways like that.
Oh, that's really beautiful. Well, let me remind our listeners, you can connect with Patrick Ryan, who is the author of Awakened Wisdom, A Guide to Reclaiming Your Brilliance, on awakenedwisdom.com. And remember that he does public workshops. There is one coming up in the Bay Area soon, and there are some in other areas of the U.S. coming up also, which you can find out on his website. And Patrick, I want to thank you for doing your part and for making this book available. It's a lovely thing that you were called to do, and I appreciate it very much, and I also appreciate you taking your time to be here with us on Full Power Living today.
It's my pleasure, Eileen, and my gratitude goes to you as well for hosting this beautiful show. And to your listeners, you're obviously attracting in some really caring, conscientious, awakened people to listen. And that's a reflection of the energy that you're putting out as well. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, one of our people on the chat says, thank Patrick from me for his wisdom. So we'll pass that on too. So thank you again for being with us. And I look forward to hopefully talking with you again.
Myself as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks to our producer, Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host here at Full Power Living, reminding you to pay attention to what you want to become, not to what you want to overcome.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.